Devin Turner, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing all right. Thank you for joining me on this sad looking day. It was sunny for a bit, but it's sunny where you're at. That's all that matters, right?
It is very sunny. Like, I'm in my car and I should have moved the car because the sun is just, but yeah, it's super sunny today. We weirdly, like, we're in Southern California right now. We got snow on Easter.
Yeah.
Which is highly unusual.
Yeah.
It does snow, like, cause we're in the high desert. So the altitude is about 4,000 to 5,000 feet, depending on where you are here. But it does snow occasionally in the winter. Even that's not the most common. Yeah. But yeah, snowing in the spring, not usual. So it's nice to have some sun now.
So you didn't have a white Christmas, but you got a white Easter, huh?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. So what's the temperature there?
Oh, let's see. 64.
64. Not bad. Not bad. I think it's 50s here, but forgive my whole allergy face because this is the only time my wife opens the windows because we live in the desert too. Okay. Eastern Washington is all desert.
Got it. Yeah.
So you go up to the north, but she just puts up all the windows and we enjoy the mild weather.
Right.
When it's like 90s and 100s, we, you know, close the window, but still this is the only time I get a full rush of just allergies. And so
that's so fun.
So welcome and please forgive me.
That's okay. I have a bit of a sore throat because whenever I do a hard run, I get like a sore throat afterwards and I always need cough drops. So,
Is that why the emergency you were like, please don't get sick?
The emergency was like, I woke up and I just felt like garbage out of nowhere. And I was like, I better get ahead of this because it could get bad quickly. The sore throat after running is just, it gets kind of sore from me sucking in so much air through my mouth. So
I gotcha. All right, Devin, you're here because you are a fighter. You are a marathon runner, believe it or not. And you have quite the story to share.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah. We met because of that one Tom Cruise meme on that one movie.
Oh, yes.
Because
which is actually my most successful reel at this point.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I kind of just threw it together and I was like, I don't even think it's that good, and it's getting close to hitting a million views, which is way out of the ordinary for me. And I found when you try really hard to make a really good post and you're like really proud of it, it'll be shown to like 2,000 people, and then you just throw one together like last minute and it goes viral. So
that's how the algorithm works, you know.
You can
suck on one and then be great, but then you've spent like a whole 30 minutes trying to get all the hashtags and just the thoughts and thinking, and then one person sees it in one day.
Yep. You know?
So shout out to that meme. But so marathon running. Why a marathon? Why not start with a 5K, then a 10K, 10 miler, half marathon? You went big.
I went way too big, arguably. It was really just because I am incredibly competitive. It has calmed down a bit in a good way as I've gotten older. But yeah, back then it was 2012, so I was 21. And my my younger sister announced to our family that she was going to train for and run a marathon with one of her friends in the fall. And at this point, I think it was like end of May, beginning of June. And she was not even like one of the runners in our family. My older siblings were runners. And my older sister was a collegiate runner. And so I did not see that coming, but no one in my family had run a marathon yet. And I was like, well, I'm not going to let her be the first one in the family to run a marathon. Like, I'm going to try to do it before she can.
Gotcha.
So yeah, really it just came from being kind of immature and overly competitive. So I signed up for one 6 weeks later and I hadn't run in years. So it was definitely the definition of ill-advised. And I went out to, the school where they filmed High School Musical was actually like 2 miles down the street from me. because I was living in downtown Salt Lake City. And I went to their track and I ran 10 miles on the track because I didn't have a very good way of keeping track of distance.
Right.
So I was like, I know if I go to the track, like I had my iPod Touch and I opened the notes in it and I wrote down how many laps I had to do, and each lap I would subtract one.
Yeah.
So, cause I didn't, like, iPhones were around, but I didn't have an iPhone yet. So, yeah, that was kind of, the best way for me to just go out there and, get it done. So yeah, I forced myself to run 10 miles and
on then a track.
The next week. Yeah. On a track.
On a track, guys. Yes. Oh my goodness. No, thank you.
Well, and it was also, I mean, it's June at this point. It was extra hot that summer. And I was running in the middle of the day. So I got a pretty gnarly sunburn from that. But yeah, I was hooked after that. So
just running on a track, did, you were hooked.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I only did 4 runs before that marathon because it would take me so long to recover. So I went out and did 10 miles, then had to recover for a week. Then the next week, 15 miles, recovered for a week. Then I think 18, and then the following week, 22 miles.
Okay.
And then I took 2 weeks off before running the marathon to taper.
And you finished?
No, I was not able to finish, unfortunately. So it was taking too long, and I was not, it was a holiday in Utah, like a local holiday.
Oh, okay.
And I was working for Whole Foods at the time, and they would not give me the day off. And I had to be in at, I think, like 1 or 2, something like that. So at mile 19, I realized I was like, I'm going to be late for work and I could get fired. So I had to drop out. I knocked on some random person's door and asked them to give me a ride back to my car. And yeah, they were really nice and I didn't get murdered. So
yeah,
that's great. And yeah, went back to my car, rushed home. Took a shower, drained a giant blister on the bottom of my foot, and then went to work and ended up like spending most of the time there pushing carts in over 100-degree weather for several hours. So that was a rough day.
Did you keep your watch on? Or did you have a watch then?
I didn't. No.
You should have. Strava that.
Oh my gosh. Was Strava even around in 2012?
It's been around. It's just heavy now because everybody thinks they're a big runner and would like to share and share on Instagram and Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I discovered it from my husband's family in like 2017. So okay. I kind of thought it hadn't been around for that long, but maybe, yeah, apparently it's been around longer than I thought.
Yeah, it's been around because Fitbit's been around since, I think, 2013, 2014.
Oh, yeah, that's like right. That. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been around. So, okay. So, marathon. You didn't quit after that, correct?
Right. Running. I didn't run again for a while because I just kind of got into that phase of my life where I was either about to get pregnant, or just had a baby for several years. And I would have phases where I would like get back into it and then I would get pregnant and it would get derailed. I was not someone who was able to run while pregnant at all. Especially my second and third pregnancies, I was not really someone who could get out of bed the entire time. So yeah, it was put on hold till then. So for just years, I had phases where I would get back into it. I would start building fitness and then something would happen that would derail it.
Yeah.
But yeah, never fully quit. It was always there in the back of my mind. I just, after that first marathon attempt, I felt like a runner. Like I felt like at my core, that was like just something that made me feel the most like me when I was running regularly.
Satisfied.
Yeah.
You're in it to win it.
Yeah. So yourself. It was always kind of just in the background.
Okay. All right. Then you post this on Instagram, you know, you have it as your title or your bio.
Mm-hmm.
Four plus herniated discs. I can relate because I've had back surgery, I think in the same area, but I had them clean up and that was the best thing ever. sometimes, you know, I get a bad day, but, you know, a little, you know, Advil or something helps. But there was before then, if I got startled, if I coughed, if I sneezed, if, you know, the toaster flipped when I was watching it and caught me off guard, my back would be wrong now, you know, and people like, oh, it's back. You just, you know, man up. It's going to be fine. You know, do some stretches. It's not that easy. So when I heard your story, I watched the documentary, by the way, the good documentary, great one.
Oh, thank you. It was all by yourself? My first thing I've made that long. Yeah. My husband helped. He was the one following behind me with our gimbal, holding the camera steady so that like we could get running footage. But yeah, edited myself and everything like that. So it good took job. A long time.
Great job. Great story too. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks.
But the way you were walking looked like the way I was walking in, and the whole time I was just like, cringe. I knew it, you know. I knew it, felt it through, you know, the video. What caused the disc to herniate?
We still are not entirely sure, but there are a number of factors that went into it. One of them is incredibly controversial. I was vegan for a really long time. And also during the time that I was having all of my kids, when your nutritional needs are crazy high. Mm-hmm. Toward the end of my final pregnancy, my body was just not absorbing anything that I was putting into it anymore. And I had lost a lot of hair. I had teeth that were crumbling from the inside out.
Jeez.
Which happens from nutritional deficiencies. And I was taking like food-based, like vegan multivitamins and like a prenatal. And I was very like careful about how I was eating and everything like that. But it ended up, after years of that, my body was just not happy. And so my connective tissue really suffered a lot from like some difficult pregnancies and nutritional deficiencies.
Yeah.
And then I got something that I had never heard of before when I was pregnant, the last two times, called, symphysis pubis dysfunction, where essentially your body produces, when you're pregnant, a hormone called relaxin. And if it produces a bit too much, it can affect your pelvis and it can cause kind of like torsion and like nerves being pinched, and it's incredibly uncomfortable, like just excruciating, and you can't take anything for it because you're pregnant.
Yeah.
So, that like all of those things kind of combined just made the perfect storm, but we didn't know that it was coming. Like we didn't know to expect that.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that I had been warned like, hey, because you've had SPD the past two pregnancies, you really should go see a chiropractor right away and like start doing preventative physical therapy, even if you don't think there's an issue right now. I wish I had been warned about that because I had no symptoms prior to it happening. Like I was doing sprints at the gym. I was lifting weights, no issues whatsoever. I never had back pain, which is crazy because I knew a lot of new moms who had back pain. And they didn't herniate discs. So I really didn't see it coming. It was just one day I bent over and I couldn't get back up.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just that sudden. And then it just proceeded to get a lot worse over several years. Now I'm heading into year five of dealing with this, and I have more than when I started.
So you're still dealing with the herniated disc.
Yep. Yeah. Say the last big re-herniation was one of the worst ones I've had. We don't know how many of the discs like re-herniated. We assume it had to be more than one based on how severe it was, because it was very similar to when it first happened, when I herniated four at the same time. And it was on just this past Christmas Eve. And I felt so bad because we're staying with my in-laws right now. And I, like, my husband was trying to help me like get up to walk to the bathroom. And I was like screaming my head off. Like it was so bad. And normally I can contain myself pretty well, but it was bad. So I went and I got back into bed. I could not even roll over for about 24 hours, which really freaks me out. Like I just if I like can't move, it really messes with my head. And then for 3 days after that, I couldn't get out of bed even to go to the bathroom. So it was a really, really bad re-herniation. I've had, I don't know, over the years, probably at least 30 of those, but not, you know, not as bad. But yeah, it's still something I deal with all the time. It's gotten more annoying since I've developed some, like I had 3 bulging discs, I found out 2 years ago on my birthday in my neck. We think at least one of those has herniated. And the sucky part about having them, like I'm used to having them all in like my lower back, all in a line, way at the bottom. And then when you have some in your neck, for me at least, I found that whatever makes my lower back comfortable tends to piss off my neck.
Yeah.
And so like one of them is always unhappy in not some laughing. Way.
It's true though.
It's yeah. It's so true. And I mean, you have to laugh about it because what are you going to do? Like nobody has enough tears to just cry about it all the time. So you have to learn to laugh at it a little bit. But yeah, it's just something I live with all the time. It's gotten weird to talk about like pain levels because I'm always at some level of pain. Like there's sometimes I wake up in the morning and I haven't moved yet. And I'm like, man, there are people that just walk around like this all day. That's insane.
Yeah.
Cause it's such a rare feeling. But yeah, it's just something I'm living with at this point. Like I'm never going to stop trying to fix it and to get better. Yeah. But I also have to be realistic about, I've had 2 surgeries. They re-herniated immediately every time. They've kept re-herniating since then. We don't want to give me a spinal fusion because it doesn't work very well for when you're this young. There's people like in their 70s and 80s that will get them and they get like a huge regain of function and it's able to help them through the end of their life. But I was 28 when this happened.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just not advisable. And from everything that I've heard, especially from people doing it younger than like in their 60s, is that it tends to cause more herniated discs further up the spine from where the fusion was. So we're trying to avoid that at all costs. So it's just, it's something I work on all the time. Like I do a crap ton of physical therapy and I have for years and just always trying to manage it. I basically have a full arsenal of physical therapist equipment that I just have with me all the time.
When are you going to say enough is enough and just get the fusion or the few years back? I'm a bit older than you, but you would always hear these guys like, oh man, that rod, oh, it's cold and it's like 50 degrees. And they're like, oh, I just can't take this cold. Sucks. You know, it's just too damn cold for me right now. Let me warm up a bit. But, you know, have you explored that too?
So we
explored all avenues, correct?
Oh my gosh, so many. The only one that we haven't done yet is when they take your own stem cells and they inject them.
That's like expensive
as hell, stem cell too. Therapy. Yeah, it's like $2,500 per treatment, and I would need like 10 treatments. And that's assuming that they work.
Yeah.
Because if they only work part of the way, like I'll need more. So yeah, it's, you know, extremely expensive for something like that. And insurance doesn't cover it yet because it's still considered experimental.
Yeah.
I could talk forever about all the crap that I've learned about health insurance and how
I could only imagine
like what a racket it is. Like,
yep.
Just how they will do anything to get out of actually helping you.
Yeah.
Like they'll approve me to go get steroid shots all the live long day, even though for an injury like this, it's one of the worst things you can do for a lot of people because it will dull the pain and then you'll go about your life acting normal and make it worse because you do have to treat your body differently when this happens and you can't just bend down whenever you want and lift things when it's, you know, really aggravated. So yeah, it's been a whole process that way. We've looked into, there are disc replacements that you can get. When we last talked to my surgeon, they still were not available. Yes. When I last talked to our surgeon or to my surgeon, he said that they're still not available or like approved for the lumbar spine, which is where the worst of mine are. And that you can go to Germany and get it done, but it's like $50,000 out of pocket for each disc you would need replaced. So, you know, we don't have that kind of money. But I think the point that we would definitely get a fusion is if we get an MRI done and I have no disc left.
Yeah.
Because as they keep reherniating, your body either like sucks it back in and heals and you still have the same amount of disc height, or your body just absorbs the part that has come out. So over time, you're just losing your disc. So, if it gets to that point,
people are like, Nick, just shut up. I understand. That's why I'm like, oh gosh. So how much disc space or fluid do you have left? Do you have any left?
We haven't gotten an MRI in a while because my insurance, we actually have what's considered a pretty good insurance. They give me the hardest time anytime I try to get an MRI. And the last time that I got one done on my neck, we actually just went and we paid out of pocket. And because they give you a deal, a lot of hospitals and medical offices, they don't want to deal with your insurance. And so they're like, I called them and they were like, yeah, we can get you in today and we'll give you like a 30% discount if you pay upfront. And I was able to use my HSA to pay for that. And it ended up being cheaper by like $200 than if we had gone through the insurance, and I didn't even have to get their approval. So we did that. We haven't gotten another one since then. So it's been almost 2 years, but the last one that I had done, I had a decent amount of disc height left. I'm very fortunate that the issue did not start from having discs that were degenerating.
Gotcha.
Because if they're degenerating and then they herniate, you're going to lose disc height even faster, depending on how it goes. So yeah, I still, as far as we know, have decent disc height. So as long as we're able to maintain that, that'll be a lot better.
Now, do any of your family members have the same issue as you?
No.
No? So it was just like, voila, here you are. You're getting the brunt force.
Yeah. No, there's actually a ton of health issues that I've dealt with toward like the tail end of like me being vegan and then transitioning back into eating meat again that my family members never dealt with. I have an older sister who also has six kids, but they're all biologically hers. Three of mine are stepkids and three are biological.
Congrats, by the way. Congrats.
Oh, thanks.
Congrats.
So yeah, my older sister, her pregnancies were pretty like standard. She was able to like just continue her life as normal. And she's like, if I had your pregnancies, I don't know if I would have had more than one or two kids.
Yeah.
So and my mom also had six kids. None of her pregnancies were that awful either. So yeah, it's definitely, I kind of shot myself in the foot with that a little bit.
So you think it is because of the diet?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, my body at the end of that was completely falling apart. So I definitely, there aren't a lot of things that I would go back and change, but that is one of the things I would go back and change.
Have you changed?
It's been like five years in January since I stopped being vegan. And it was like the first year I couldn't even really eat most fruit or vegetables. I pretty much could only eat red meat for like every single meal of the day. And I would feel incredibly weak if I like skipped a meal or two without having any red meat. And then after about a year of that, then I was able to like slowly start transitioning into just like a more typical healthy omnivorous diet.
Yeah.
And so now that's kind of where I am now. Like I've been focusing on keeping my protein high, because it helps me recover so I can actually do my workouts, but it also helps my back as well.
Right.
So now I'm able to do a much more like standard healthy the omnivorous diet. But yeah, for a long time it was just totally different.
When you went back to eating meat, right, what was the one thing that you're like, oh god, I just missed this so much? Which one? What is it? What meal or what kind of
a dish? Steak, really? A steak? Yeah, like that was the thing where like I told my husband, I was like, I feel like if we drove past a field that had cows in it, I would pounce on one of the cows and start eating it. Like that's how like primal and how strong the cravings were at that point. So yeah, I ate a lot of steak that first year.
Now, because vegan, did you go, mm-hmm. was it still mooing or was it well done?
It initially had to be very well done.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. Cause I mean, it took me like 2 years before I could drink a glass of milk by itself. I could have like a protein shake that had milk in it, but I could not handle, like drinking milk because your brain like gets totally rewired and you stop thinking of it as food. So the thought of like drinking it or eating certain things like will freak you out. So yeah, it took a long time till I was able to do that. But yeah, steak was one of the things that like right away.
How many years deep were you in the vegan diet?
Like 6.5 years.
6.5.
Yeah.
Oof. That's tough. That's tough.
Yeah. It's a big regret that I have of my life.
You're the only one that I've heard saying that. So we'll keep it there. We won't go too far into that because people take it seriously, you know?
No, that's they really do. I will say though, to anyone listening, like if you go down the rabbit hole, you'll find, I mean, I was in support groups with like online of tens of thousands of people having the exact same thing. And it's something that like, if you are in the vegan community, you can't talk about it. Like they will just tell you you're doing it wrong. And it's funny because so many of the people that I've known, that ended up having to leave it behind were incredibly diligent about trying to get every nutrient possible and tracking everything that went into their mouth and even like seeing doctors that were vegan and dietitians that were vegan. So yeah. Yeah, that's all I'll say about that.
Okay. Yeah, because it's like vegan.
It's a hot topic.
Yeah. So we'll leave it. I mean, there's a lot of runners that out there that, you know.
There are, yes.
Live.
And you know what? If it works, like if it works for you, great. But like if it's not, but you know.
There's nobody like that though out there. You know, you're running like on vegan. Oh, okay. So you do your best to either have them pass you or you pass them because, you know, it's almost cultish.
Oh, it very much is. No, I had to, I had an Instagram account that was public and I shared a ton of like recipes that were vegan and stuff like that. And I had seen the backlash that people had when they left veganism. And so what I did was very quietly, I just went through and removed every follower that I had that was vegan. And then I announced it to everyone else that was left.
Gotcha.
Because I knew how bad it would be. And still there were people who would find me, like just random people would find me on Instagram and would just like berate me about it. So I'm really glad. Like my husband was always very supportive and like we ate vegan in our household and like he would just like when we'd go out to eat, he'd have other stuff. But I'm really glad that he was not also vegan because there are people that like break up because of this.
Yeah.
So he just supported me. He's like, I just want you to be like happy and healthy. I'm going to support you no matter what. But yeah, you have to leave behind. Like there are a lot of people who won't be friends with you anymore. You have a whole identity crisis. So yeah, it gets, it's pretty rough.
Shout out to your husband, man, for not calling you, man, but shout out to your husband for, you know, helping you out with these long days of herniated disc and just,
dealing
with your incredible health issues. I mean, you really speak highly of him in that documentary. So, but I don't think you ever said his name.
Oh, it's Joseph.
Yeah. I don't think you ever did. I know it wasn't about him. But
he's very low key on the internet too.
Okay.
So I was like, do you want to be in it? And he was like, no, it's not really my thing. So
shout out to Joseph, man.
Yeah. He's the best.
Yeah. Even just dealing with it, the pain, the hurt, the baby, it's like the kids,
Kids. Yeah. He works from home full time now. And there are days where I can't get out of bed and he has to do absolutely everything. And he is sometimes a lot better at it than I would even be. Cause he's like, we're very much typically like, or that typical, like, you know, the mom is more like the disciplinarian and is like kind of more like neurotic and uptight. And the husband's like really chill and relaxed and not a lot gets under his skin. Like he's so much like that. So there are some days he handles it even way better than I do. So
opposites attract, right?
Yep. Yeah, we balance each other out really nicely. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's pretty cool, you know, when you're running and seeing family, you know, gather around and, you know, celebrate your accomplishments too. That was really cool. I was kind of teary eyed seeing your kids out there saying,
they were so sweet. It was the cutest. Yeah. Cause they had 10 and a half hours to like hang out in the van and work on their signs and stuff like that. So yeah.
Yeah. Great. No, 10 and a half hours, but you're doing it. You're out there doing it. Now, did you ever doubt yourself because you didn't finish at a time? And you finish, you know, dead last, you got the caboose, or, you know, knowing that you're not going to make up the time, like maybe top 6 hours, right? Mm-hmm. Did you ever doubt yourself saying, gosh, this is dumb. I'm not going to finish. I'm not, you know, doing it on time. Why am I doing this? Did you ever doubt yourself during a race?
Not really. And mostly like, it's because of everything that I've gone through with my back, like every run that I can do is such an accomplishment, and I have to remind myself of that sometimes, like hey, just keep in mind that, you know, any point you could sneeze or roll over the wrong way in bed and not be able to get up for days and not even be able to walk. So be grateful that you can run. So yeah, it was just like a celebration of what I could do and that there was still so much that I could do.
And that you're fighting on a daily basis, and so you're like, hey, what's this gonna hurt kind of thing.
Yep.
Marathon, 10 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let me guess, you get a lot of flack from that too.
I get a lot more flack from the fact that like, if I'm doing like a zone 2 run, I'm doing like 20 minute miles. Mm-hmm. And I can still hit like a 20 minute mile, even if I don't stop to walk. And there are a lot of people that are like, no, you're lying. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I didn't think it, like, if you had told me years and years and years ago that that's like what, you know, a pretty like decent run would be for me, I would never have believed that I could run and go that slow. But somehow I managed to do it. So I get a lot more flack about that. I recently had someone like leave a nasty comment saying that I was like, I had a superiority complex because I ran a 20 minute mile, and I'm like, that's honestly, like my husband and I just laughed our heads off about that one because it's the most backwards thing I've ever heard. I'm like, there's no superiority complex whatsoever. But yeah, I didn't get a ton of crap for that. Thankfully, a lot of people seem to understand that like it's hard enough no matter how you do it.
Yeah. But so, you're out and about, you're doing your thing. How often with your back the way it is still, how often do you get out and run a week?
It depends on the week so much and what I'm training for. Like right now I have I'm doing the Carlsbad 5000. On Sunday. And so this week, like I'm not doing strength training and I'm doing like probably 3 runs this week. And then the last 2 days I'm going to let my muscles rest so that they'll be ready for rest day. So there are some weeks where I'm doing like 4 to 5 runs a week, and then like a day or two of strength training. And it just really depends on how my back is doing and like what I can manage. So yeah.
Yeah.
Really varies a lot.
When you're out and about, especially you're running your races, I know you've had 2 marathons and you're going to run the 5K. How many 5Ks have you ran?
This will be actually the 4th 5K that I've done. And they really snuck up on me. I really love, like running 5Ks. And I think it's because I can actually race it.
Yeah.
When I do a marathon, I'm not racing it. Right. I'm just trying to finish it. But like during a 5K, I freaking push myself and I gun it as hard as I can. And there's something really satisfying about that. Like it makes you feel more like an athlete.
Right.
I did a turkey trot once, and it's also really nice because a lot of people will do 5Ks and they'll just be like having a leisure stroll like with their family members. And so I don't finish dead last also.
There you go. Yeah,
I got like I'm got still you. Faster than somebody.
I got you. Yeah. You're still an athlete though. You're working
it's
out.
True, but it's just the feel. Like sometimes it's nice to get like that feel of like sprinting past people at a finish line. Gotcha. So yeah, it's fun to have that experience too.
How often do you find yourself walking?
It initially was a lot more. Now I pretty much only walk when if I'm doing like a run where I'm very strictly trying to stay in zone two. And so like, it'll start to creep up a bit and I'm like, okay, I'm going to walk for a minute. But I no longer need to walk for anything faster than a zone two run. But initially I had to, run just as much, if not more than, or sorry, walk just as much, if not more than I was running. So I might do like, you know, a minute of running, a minute of walking, or a minute and a okay. half of walking.
You're one of those.
When I was first getting back into it, at the end of the summer and like leading up to, and the first, like both of the marathons I had to do it as like a run walk interval kind of thing, because I also, developed plantar fasciitis, which I had never dealt with before and it was bad. So, I had to run walk that as well, because between the back and my feet acting up like that, it was necessary.
Are you still dealing with that?
Yeah, but I've gotten a lot better at managing it.
Yeah.
So even like when it does creep up, it's not
most
out of my wheelhouse for like dealing with it.
The most painful shot was the cortisone shot for plantar fasciitis. I tell you what,
Really?
It was worth it. It was so worth it. Never had an issue after that, where it's knock on wood. But it was
nice.
It was painful. It's going right up the foot on the,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah.
But if you can deal with all the stuff you dealt with, you can deal with that.
Right.
Shot.
It's like, it's small potatoes. I mean, like plantar fasciitis was like, even just dealing with it in its most extreme form, it was rough, but still it was like, this is small potatoes compared to my back. And that's, I don't know, that's kind of one of, I think, the gifts that I've been given in this life that it took me a really long time to appreciate. But I technically have been, I've been very blessed with a lot of really, really difficult trials. And so when I'm out there on a run and it feels like I'm about to die, I'm like, this is still nothing compared to some of the stuff like mentally
and
physically that I've had to deal with. So I'm like, I can keep going, no problem. I started saying, pain is an old friend. That's one of my favorite mantras that I will repeat to myself during races and stuff.
When you're at the races, are the mm-hmm. crowds more supportive than social media?
Yes, definitely. And I found that like most, I mean, the standard thing now seems to be most people are much nicer in person than they are online. Mm-hmm. So yeah, people seem to be a lot more supportive. I seem to like not be noticed a whole lot during 5Ks, because the ones that I've done, they're pretty big crowds.
Yeah.
So yeah, like no, I don't even usually talk to people. Like I go out and I run and I'm dying the entire time. Like, you know, trying not to make my heart explode and go as fast as I can.
Right.
During the marathon that I did, it was the second one that was like the actual official race. Everyone in that was incredibly supportive. And like everyone that I would talk to, there were several people that would run with me for a while and I would talk with them. And then we'd pass people and they'd be like, Devin's doing her first marathon. Like, this is her first race.
Right.
And they were all being really supportive. So yeah, that was incredible. It's a company that they're called Mainly Marathons, and they're actually really low key. It was really hard for me to even find out about them. And I guess they're kind of trying to keep it that way because they don't want to grow too much and then have to entirely change the way they do their races.
Gotcha.
But they, like the people that do them, will do multiple ones every year and they travel for them. And like everybody kind of knows each other. So it's like, it's very much like a family. And that was a really cool experience to just have so much support from everybody.
Yeah. The you know, ultra world, ultra marathon world, it's definitely mm-hmm. a lot of camaraderie.
I've heard that.
And definitely more family oriented and definitely more caring than on pavement marathons and 5K.
I'm actually really looking forward to getting into some ultras.
Yeah.
I love running on loops. And it's really weird because everybody hates it. But it's like my dream race, like one of my dream races that I would probably do 100 times is to run a 24-hour race on a track.
Yeah.
And when people hear that, they're like, that sounds like the most miserable thing I've ever heard. I love it.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Well, it's nice. It's nice for one. I don't have to worry about my safety. Whether it's like from wild animals or just like random people that I could run into. So that's really nice. Like they're super well lit. Yeah. A track is very nicely cushioned and flat. And I like that it's easier for me to turn my mind off during races or like any kind of event that has a loop because yeah. You do it one time and you're like, okay, now I know what to expect every single time. There's no surprises and you can kind of just tune out and just run and kind of be in a flow state.
Why don't you try to look into across the years? It's in Arizona, but it's right before New Year's. And they got up to 6 hours or a marathon, 6 hours, 12, you know, so many options all the way up to 6 days to
be nice. Out
there in the loop course. And it is around a track, but they also go around where the Dodgers and another baseball team plays during spring break. But
oh, that's cool.
It's not something to look into. I know it's in Arizona, but still it's.
No, I mean, we have my sister-in-law and like her family, they live in Mesa. So we actually go out there and visit like once or twice a year. So that's for us, like we'll drive almost anywhere for almost no reason. We really love road trips and gotcha. We have this, I'm in my van right now. We have a giant van and it has a queen size bed on a platform in the back. And so, yeah, we will drive almost anywhere for pretty much no reason. So I would definitely drive there for a race.
And then in Salem, I think I'm doing this year, it's 24 hours, but it's in a loop course.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to. I don't think it's really, it's not as busy, but you do everything. And I think you bring your own stuff. They probably have like some kind of hydration stuff for you. But outside of that, it's like BYOB kind of thing. But
which I think is better in a lot of ways because you're used to your specific stuff. So it's so just a lot easier to bring your own. There's one that's going on right now. Not super far from like Palm Springs at a ranch. Okay. And I really wanted to do the 24-hour race, but it like the 24-hour portion of it starts, I think, on like Friday into Saturday. And we were flying to Denver on Saturday and we couldn't reschedule it. And so I wasn't able to do it, but I'm looking forward to, I think they do it the same time every year. So I'm looking forward to next April. Doing that because it's like fully just on this ranch. They have a really amazing aid station. They have like cabins for people to stay in. And so I was like, that totally that appeals to me. I would love to do that.
The loop courses, not just the the track laps. They're really handy because all you have to do is just carry a water bottle and that's it. Like bare minimum. And you know, every mile, 2 mile, 3 miles, however the loop is, you know, you're just okay, I'm ready and you get something to eat. All right, let's go, you know, fill up. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, the second marathon I did, that was just it was a 1.5 or 1.6 loop. Mile loop that we just did over and over again. And I carried a hydration backpack for that only because I was like, I think I'll only have to fill it up like twice the entire time. And like the one that I have is like a compression one. So there's not like sloshing and like, you don't really notice it. Yeah. So I carried that for that one, but I totally did not have to. I just did it because that's what I prefer. Yeah. It'll be really weird for me when I get fast enough to the point where I can run just a regular, like big race marathon where you're like not allowed to carry much of anything. Like you can't carry a hydration pack and it'll be really weird to actually like be stopping at every aid station and like drinking whatever they have on the course. Cause I'm so used to at this point, like just having to carry my own stuff and do my own thing.
Right.
So.
Okay. Speaking of carry, you were outside at night with earbuds on.
I was. I, yeah, running at like, I finished at like 2:30 in the morning.
Yes.
Now I will preface this and I will say, once it got dark, I took one earbud out and I had the volume way down. I didn't see like where I was running, near the, like the California Aqueduct. It's in the middle of the desert. Nobody ever wants to be there, even right. in like the middle of the night. Like I was prepared in case I encountered someone.
Yeah.
Like there was there were a couple times I was freaked out and I asked my like husband to come out there with me, but like I carried pepper spray. I had like rocks at one point because there was a stray pack of dogs that was near me and was really freaking me out. So yeah, I was definitely a lot more cautious, especially after it got dark. Because I'm always no like on a swivel.
No more. When I heard that, earbuds at night, earbuds at day, earbuds period. You know, it's dangerous no matter where you're
at.
Oh, I'm a real stickler on that, especially on the podcast, because I never wear earbuds. I can't, because I'm always out and about on a mountain for X amount of hours, you know, doing circles. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like our mountain here. And last thing I want to do is freak somebody out. So what I do is I mess with the volume as I'm running, you know, I'll turn it mm-hmm. up, I'll cough, make sure people know, and then come to find out, you know, they have earbuds on. I'm like, okay, I just.
And then they get the crap scared out of them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry. You know, and I'm like, hey, not trying to scare you, but it's
well, tough. And definitely when I'm on trails where literally anyone ever is, like, cause, we're from Utah and there are trails that I run there that are very heavily trafficked, and I will just take my earbuds out because I've had the crap scared out of me by other runners and other cyclists before, and I'm like, it's not worth it. Like I get too freaked out. So I definitely take them out when there's people around. Like yesterday was the first time in months on this particular trail that I saw a person, to the point where I called my husband up and was like, I saw another runner, because right. no one around here runs.
Yeah.
Ever. And so it was the craziest thing ever, but it's rare that I ever run into literally anybody. But I've been using my earbuds a lot less on runs lately, because we've started like taking our kids out there with us, or sometimes my husband will come with me. So yeah, it's been fun.
Safety first, that's all I'm saying.
Yep.
So speaking of kids and everything else, have you thought about hiking? I mean, there's a lot of hikes. If I know where you're at, there's a lot of hikes, and it is prime real estate for hiking. Have you thought about taking up backpacking or hiking?
Where we were in Utah was actually way better for hikes. Like here we have to travel, like to get to some of the better hikes, we have to travel as much as like 45 minutes to an hour. Where we were in Utah, it's called Utah Valley. It's about an hour or so south of Salt Lake City. You can get into like a canyon and have access to hundreds of hikes with like less than 20 minutes sometimes. So like, depending on how close you are to the mountains, we always lived quite close to them, because just where the valley is, like there's only so much room between the mountains. So we had access to a ton of really good hikes. So we hiked a lot more when we were there. Here we have to go a bit further. So we haven't done as many here. And also there's snow right now. So when the snow gets a bit better, we're going to do some more hikes up there. But yeah, we love hiking. We've hiked for pretty much my husband and I, we've been remarried for, not to each other, but remarried, both of us.
Yeah.
For like 7 years, and we've been hiking pretty much the whole time. So we did one backpacking excursion, just my husband and I, before the herniated disc, but I haven't been able to do it since then because I can't carry literally anything. Yeah. So yeah, we've talked about like trying to come up with a plan where we can bring just the bare minimum amount of stuff that he can carry, so that I don't have to carry anything more than like a few pounds. So we may make that happen at some point, because I loved backpacking, and I hope to be able to do some version of it a lot more.
Okay. Well, I have three suggestions. When you do get a moment, I mean, you guys travel a lot too. We do.
When
you said you're going to Denver, I was like, man, you guys get out a lot. Okay.
Yeah. So, well, right now, like we're in California up until the summer when we'll be moving back to Utah. We're staying with my in-laws and we have custody schedules with both of our exes. So there's a ton of back and forth between Utah and California. Okay. And this time, like our three older kids, their mom is taking them to Texas to visit family and to see the eclipse. And we figured out it was a lot cheaper to fly the kids to Denver and meet her on that route versus flying them to Utah and then having her leave from there. So yeah, but we always seem to be going somewhere.
Okay. If you ever, like, I know you went up north just recently too. Mm-hmm. If you ever get a chance, go to a low profile national park. It's Pinnacles. If you haven't gone, have you gone?
I've heard of that, but yeah, we haven't gone yet.
It's
but I have
so
heard
great.
Of it.
You see the vultures there, like the extinct vultures that are just, you know, making an existence there up close and personal. They're ugly, but it's
cool.
No,
my husband is a total bird nerd. So, he would love that.
Pinnacles.
And we love national parks.
It's very small, but man, it is so worth it. And then if and when you have time before you head out to Utah, hit up Bishop, California, the mecca of hiking
and
climbing.
Yeah.
East Sierras. You got to hit the East Sierras before you hit Utah, before you leave. And it, last thing is Tahoe. You got to hit Tahoe if you haven't had.
I have been to Tahoe twice before because I also grew up in a family that road tripped a lot. So, I mean, I grew up in Philadelphia, but we drove out to the Grand Canyon at one point and we hit Tahoe on the way. We went that way. So
very
Tahoe is fantastic. Yeah.
Very family oriented. And plus you can do pretty much the whole loop in segments, you know, and not have to worry about caring too much. So
yeah,
you do. But if I were you, I'd check out Pinnacles. Pinnacles was a trip. It was a trip. And no, just had
it. I'm excited to do that one. That's on our list. We also need to go to Yosemite. I've never been to Yosemite, but it's gotten so busy.
Yeah.
You have to like plan months in advance. And even then, like you may not be able to like get do the stuff you want to do. So
It's true. I frequent there every year. And yeah, I do my best to wiggle my way in and out of that place. But the best thing about Yosemite is it's crowded in the valley. But there's so many arteries going up to other, you know, long distance trails that once you're out of that main station, you have the trail all by yourself for hours. And every now and then you'll hit somebody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, the main arteries, God, you need to get in and out of there and then enjoy your time. Yeah. But it's good. Yosemite is fun. It is a blast. I've pretty much done all the trails there.
Cool.
And if you ever get a chance and you hit the lottery, Half Dome is one of
I've heard a lot about that.
Is one of the sketchiest climbs. I did it. Oh man, I did it in one push, and a lot of people don't. They camp out right there before, you know, they get to the the saddle, and it's white knuckling it all the way up there.
Oh boy.
I've done a lot of things in my time, and that was one of the sketchiest hikes I've ever done. And people were like, amateur. No, I've done a lot of things. But
so I mean, were you hiking it or climbing it? Can you only climb it like with ropes and like, because I've heard of people climbing it like, you know, like actual rock climbing, but I don't know if you can hike it.
You hike it with the on the wires or the cable when the cable's up.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. You bring gloves if you ever do that. A lot of people don't.
That sounds similar to how Angel's Landing Zion, how that ends. Yeah. And we were very fortunate. My husband and I did that when we were dating, and it was before they had to do a lottery system.
Yep.
And we all of our kids hiked Angel's Landing, not the very last, like the part where you're hanging onto the chains is only like a quarter of a mile at the end, but they did everything up to that point.
Yeah.
And our kids were little. And so, and we were super proud. They got some awesome treats for doing that. Cause it's a tough hike. And they were very little and they all did it. So we're glad that we got in when we did, because Zion has gotten so much busier and now you have to do a whole lottery just to be able to do that hike. So.
Yep. I try to just go around the lotteries, not go. Yep. But, you know, before the lottery day, I tried to see if it's manageable, if I can do it. So, yeah. So what's next for you?
So I have the 5K this weekend. This year, I'm trying to focus on getting faster.
Okay.
And that will kind of determine how long it'll be until my next marathon. I would really love to do the Honolulu marathon because it's the biggest marathon that you can do that has no cutoff time.
Yeah.
And I recently found out about that. And once I did, I was really excited, but it's expensive to get to Hawaii. Yeah. It's in December. It's expensive to get there. It's expensive to stay there. And we are moving this year, which is very expensive. So I don't know if we'll be able to make it happen this year, but I would like to do that one. So yeah, it just depends on how my speed is going. Like if I'm able to continue doing a lot better and just kind of like gradually get faster and faster, then I will just keep on that path of trying to focus on getting faster. But if it's seeming like it's going to take a lot longer for me to get faster, I'm just going to like look for marathons and like 24-hour type races that don't have a cutoff where like I don't need to be going too fast. So yeah, I have, cause I have two opposing things. Like I love running marathons, but like also I want to be able to get a lot faster. And when I can run faster, it actually hurts my back less. So there's a lot of incentive there as well.
All right. Don't shy away from the half marathon.
No, I really do need to do a half marathon at some point. I have to find the same kind of race that doesn't have a cutoff. But the hardest thing for me is I want to do the ones where there is no marathon option, because I know mentally I will have too hard of a time signing up and doing a half marathon when I know a marathon's happening on the same course on the same day.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have to find one that's like just a half marathon, nothing longer, happening the same day, and has a super long cutoff or an unlimited cutoff. So yeah, but I do like that distance as well.
What's next on social media wise?
Trying to grow an account, seeing what will happen. Like I would love to be able to work with brands that I already really love. I would love to work with Hoka more. Mm-hmm. I really love their shoes, and I wish that there were more just like kind of regular looking people that are out there and are doing like are working really, really hard at getting better. And it's not just like, you know, the pro athletes that are getting showcased, because there are a lot of people that look like me that like really need to see people that like keep running even though it's hard and even though like they're not super fast. Yeah. And I think we need to see more of that being represented. And like, I think I would be a really good shoe tester, like having dealt with the plantar fasciitis and having a bunch of herniated discs. Like if, you know, a company like can make a shoe that works well for my back, that's a really good shoe. So yeah, I'd love to be able to work with a lot of different brands, and I've always been interested in that side of things. So yeah, we'll see what happens if the account grows and kind of build a community. That's really important to me too. So yeah.
You're going
to
give less mind to the trolls, right? And the haters, please.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I have to get better at it. Yeah.
I know they suck, but not everybody in the running community is like that. I know
it's such a tiny percentage, like when you think about it. And I remind myself of that all the time. So yeah.
Don't let them ruin your fun. They don't know. I'm pretty sure they didn't take the time to watch the documentary or care about like what your story
or even
is.
Look at my profile, because people will say things like, why are you so slow? And it's like, you click on my profile, like, so you see right away why I'm so slow.
Do me a favor. continue being you, continue, you know, killing the scene. I don't care how slow, how fast you run. You're out there. You're a marathon runner. You're killing it. You're killing life, even though the herniated disc, I know and believe how difficult it is.
Yeah.
But you know, just keep slaying the trails, the miles, and it'll come and put yourself out there a little more, but don't give in to those haters. They don't know what they're doing. They probably sit on the couch all day wondering what they could have done, you know, but they just managed to be an armchair warrior and say, "Hey, look at you. You're slow." Okay.
Yeah.
So social media is good, but it also is bad. And I tried to stay.
It's a real double-edged sword.
I try to stay away from it, especially in my podcast account, just podcasts only.
Yep.
So
I get that for sure.
Did I leave anything out? Do you want to add anything?
I don't think so. I guess the only other thing I'd say is, like, any other runners out there that also ever need support is just like going through the whole step parent journey. That's really difficult. Not something I ever thought that I was going to go through in life. So if there's anyone out there that is, you know, in the thick of it with being a step parent, you can always reach out to me.
Yeah. That's why I say congrats. It's not easy. It's not easy.
No, you know, no, it's not
easy. Coming from a split family myself, you know, I've been with my wife longer than my parents been together, but still, like, you know, it was hell. It was heck on the kids. It's heck on them. And, you know, the kids, it's all about the kids. And I know, you know, just by the looks of it and the sounds of it, you're doing your best and, you know, you're slaying at that. So keep doing what you're doing, Mom.
Thanks.
Yes. So are we going to meet again? Can't we meet again?
I hope so.
I want you back on after this year, just so I can, you know, give everybody an update and how everything went, if that's okay.
Yeah, no, that sounds great.
Okay. Where can people find you?
So, I mean, for now you can, you know, find me on YouTube. My documentary is on there. Although I only have that one video up, so it's really hard to find me. So the fastest way is just to go to Run For Your Problems on Netflix, and I have it, or not on Netflix, my gosh, on Instagram. And I have it linked, like the YouTube video linked on there. And yeah, Instagram's where I'm the most, active. So yeah, easiest place to find me.
So well done, Indie. YouTube video for real. Like,
thank you. Serious. I appreciate
it. Done. Yeah. It's well done. And my question to you, my last question, right? Okay. Run for your problems. Can you explain? Normally it's run from your problems, but you're saying run for your problems. So tell me something about that, please.
So yeah, it came from a falling out with a former friend. Actually. We were living in Texas, and we ended up moving back to Utah, and I had a friend that was it was very well-meaning, but she was very put out by the amount of times that, like, we had moved, and she felt like it was really unstable. And she's like, you know, I just feel like you run from your problems instead of dealing with it, which is really funny because anyone that's known me for a long time knows that that's the last thing that I do. Yeah. If anything, I charge headfirst into my problems, sometimes when I should just not confront them and just kind of like be chill for a while. Yeah, that's exactly. So yeah, that was when I was coming up for a name for the account. That was where it came from. Cause I had another friend that I talked to, one who's known, me and my husband for years. And she was like, no, if anything, like, you run like headfirst into your problems. And so that was where that name came from, a run for your problems instead of run from your problems. And then also it worked out well with, like, that running has been the perfect motivator, both physically and mentally, for me to not give up on my back. Cause if it weren't for running, I would not have the physical and the mental stamina to keep fighting this.
Well,
so it's been huge.
running for your problems, especially that back problem. God, oh, just Ooh, cringe. Yep. Just thinking about it. And the way you were walking in the video, I was just like, yep. So,
yep. And then you have to figure the times where you see if there's video of something, it means I was able to get up to actually record it. And so there are times where it's like, I can't even get out of bed. So I still consider those decently good days of like, hey, I was able to get up. That's great.
You were walking so crooked too. Yeah, I definitely, yes. God, it makes me cringe just thinking about it. But Devin,
'cause the body remembers.
Yes. Devin, please come back. Please keep doing what you do best. Mom, stepmom, runner, marathoner. So no one could take that away from you. Okay. Yep. Just remember, slow, fast, whatever. Just remember, only like 1% of the population, not even that, runs a marathon. So keep that in mind when you're having a bad day, please.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Devin, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.